Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning, Indiana, on this last day of July. The children are heading back to school. It is wonderful that there are various school options that parents can choose in the state of Indiana. Most importantly, homeschooling, which has grown by leaps and bounds in this state over the last few decades, which allows parents to supervise the curriculum that is taught to their children, a much-needed diversion from the public school curriculum that has pathetically deteriorated with this obsessive woke culture, critical race theory, social-emotional learning, the globalist Agenda 2030, and the godless, undisciplined classroom setting, all designed to outright destroy our constitutional Christian republic. Where discipline is lacking in the classroom, so is the learning. The Lord announced to Israel through his prophet Hosea, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." One major reason for the lack of knowledge is because there is no discipline in the classroom. But I have digressed. Please hear me this morning. The supermajority Republican GOP leadership in the State House that continuously boasts that they are pro-life has failed to produce legislation to ban the slaughter of innocent preborn babies in the womb. Instead, they have set up a ruse with Senate Bill 1, introduced Wednesday, July 20th, when in actuality the session started July 6th. They wasted 2 weeks drafting a subterfuge instead of resurrecting the verbiage of House Bill 1282 that was cut and dry about banning abortion. Then after 2 days of public hearings on Tuesday, July 26th, this past week, it was voted out of the Committee on Rules and Legislative Procedures with added amendments. On Thursday, July 28th, the full Senate will vote on this bill, and if it passes, it will be sent to the House of Representatives for consideration. The representatives will make alterations to the bill, and it will be bantered back and forth between the Senate and House until the 40-day special session clock runs out on August 15th, and the Republican supermajority will announce to the press, "Oops, we just did not have enough time to come to a plausible agreement on a comprehensive piece of legislation to protect the unborn. We'll just fall back on the state's current abortion law. But vote for us in November because we are pro-life." And their constituents are none the wiser of their cunning trickery to never achieve an end to abortion in the state of Indiana. However, SB 1 turns out it is a ruse to avoid completely overturning abortion in Indiana. The GOP will pacify their corporate donors while playing the whore with the Democratic Party, Planned Parenthood, the World Economic Forum, and the CCP. If you don't know what the CCP is, that is the Chinese Communist Party. Don't be fooled. Cackling word salad Kamala Harris didn't come to Indianapolis to coach the Democrats. She came to coach the Republicans on how not to ban abortion. Yes, you heard me correctly. On a Sunday morning, I regretfully said whore, which is used 16 times in the King James Bible, along with the word whoredom, whorish, harlot, concubine, and strange woman. Fitting words as we discuss abortion. Whore and abortion go hand in hand. They run with the same hellish crowd. Hear me, Republicans, members of the GOP. You say you are pro-life, and yet you did not take action immediately to resurrect House Bill 1282 to ban abortion. Instead, you presented this illusion called SB 1. In conclusion, GOP lawmakers, you are pro-death. I hope I didn't ruffle your feathers with my choice of words. Wait until I'm done and you'll be trembling in your boots. Republican legislators, I implore you to resurrect the verbiage of House Bill 1282, the Kurt Nisley and John Jacob authored bill. Immediately dump Senate Bill 1, which no one desires on either side of the aisle. Halt the advancement of this legislative charade while pretending to be tough on abortion. Ban and criminalize or abolish murder of the preborn now. Abortion at any time, at or after conception, is outright murder. It is the shedding of innocent blood. Indiana will continue to be polluted with the innocent blood of the preborn that perpetually cries out to God from the earth for vengeance. Legislators, if you do not abolish abortion, your infant baptism, profession of faith, or confirmation will not save you at the day of judgment before the supreme judge of the universe. You will reel in pain when the Lord's wrath falls upon you as he avenges the innocent blood you allowed to be spilled. You will be wailing and gnashing your teeth in the bottomless pit of hell, bewildered why your nominal Christian faith landed you in God's fiery furnace. Hear me, legislators, whatever gobbledygook Muckety muck, your priest, minister, preacher, rabbi, or imam says over your dead corpse will not change for one second your destination and duration in hell. You will remember these words of wisdom while you lament in torment for millenniums to come because of the torment you brought upon the preborn. You are absolutely deceiving yourselves if you think you will be floating on a bed of clouds in heaven when it is time for you to depart this world while over 60 million innocent slaughtered babies cry out to God. You sit in the seat of authority. You therefore will be held accountable with God for not ending this butchery. GOP, you fear a firestorm, so you averted it with compromise. But you will not delay the inevitable firestorm that will come upon you when you stand before your maker and judge. If the Republican legislators do not abolish abortion, they are outright Christ haters. If they tell their constituents while campaigning that they are pro-life, yet they won't ban abortion, they are like their father Lucifer, a liar. The scriptures say in John 8:4, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Abortion offends the preborn. It is worse than child abuse. It is the ripping apart of the infant's flesh or burning the child to death with chemicals. That will be on your conscience, legislators and governor, until you take your dying breath. Jesus called a little child unto himself, and he gave this warning: whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believes in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and drowned in the depth of the sea. You say, what about rape? My answer, why dismember the innocent baby in the womb? It is the rapist that needs to be dismembered and then executed. That will solve the rape problem real fast. You say, what about the life of the mother? That's the position that Right to Life takes. You say, what about the life of the mother? Well, why don't you let God make that decision instead of playing God yourself? Rely on the divine providence of God. The Bible says there are six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination of him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh a lie, like the pro-life political rhetoric. The current Indiana State Code, Title 6, states, at least 18 hours before the abortion and in the private non-group presence of the pregnant woman, the abortionist must inform the pregnant woman orally and in writing of the following: objective scientific information of the risk of an alternative to the procedure or the use of an abortion-inducing drug, including the risk of infection, hemorrhage, the potential danger to a subsequent pregnancy, and the potential danger of infertility. And then subsection E says, the human physical life begins when a human ovum, an ovum is the female reproductive cell or the egg, is fertilized by the human sperm. The GOP leadership bellyache that pro-life constituents and churchgoers don't show up for these rallies and have their back is because they trust their politicians' deceptive campaign rhetoric that they are pro-life and that they have their constituents' back when it comes time to pass decent legislation to protect the preborn. The hard-working constituency are out breaking their necks to pay their senators and representatives undeserving salary and overburdensome taxes while still trying to keep food on the table and a roof over their heads. They don't get paid by Planned Parenthood and the Mackenzie Scott Foundation and the George Soros shell companies to be at these rallies like these reprobate anarchists that lack decency and decorum. The Indiana GOP, along with the Democrats, are trying their best to usher in the global Antichrist agenda to ruin America. Yo, foxes, remember, God has a book of remembrance. He never forgets your evil deeds. If you think that I am being unkind or harsh, let me remind you that repentance is on the table. But true repentance means a full reversal of behavior and thinking and not being a coward to stand up for what is right. One of the Democratic senators sitting on the Senate committee who knows the Lord as his Savior asked many questions of the speakers that came to testify this past week. He is extremely misguided on his theology of hell, more so than he is misguided morally on abortion. So I emailed him afterward to illuminate his wrongful thinking about taking a pro-abortion stance as a born-again believer. Listen to what I wrote him. I sat for 2 days in the Senate chambers listening to the many testimonies on SB 1 before the Senate committee while being overlooked like many that registered to speak. Preachers did not get priority treatment. The committee members sure did not want to hear the morality objection of abortion. This senator was confused when it comes to articulating justification and sanctification while he tried to trip up some of the speakers. It will be startling for many to discover that believers that do not continue to walk in the righteousness of Christ will meet hell head on. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus' righteousness, as he outlines for us in the Sermon on the Mount, speaks to the believer's obedient walk with Christ after their simple initial faith in his shed blood for eternal salvation. Matthew 6:33 speaks to sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit sweeping out sin in the justified believer in their continued progression of achieving perfection through obedience and suffering, much like our Savior was made perfect. Hear what Hebrews 5:8 and 9 says. Though he were a son, that's capital S-O-N, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Understand that when any believer in Christ is saved, Christ sought them out. They did not go seeking for him. Note the words of the first verse of the indelible hymn, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. This verse consolidates the whole premise that Jesus found us as lost sheep and that Matthew 6:33 is not addressing the unregenerate, but must be speaking to the lost sheep that was found and brought back into the fold. When a soul comes to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, that grants them the gift of not being damned eternally in the lake of fire per John 3:16. But the obedient walk of the believer will gain them inheritance into the millennial kingdom of God. That is the promise to rule and reign with Christ in the world to come. If the believer's walk does not mirror the walk of Jesus Christ, but he chooses to walk with the lost reprobates and justify their ungodly deeds, that believer will suffer the torment of hell until he is resurrected out of that prison after the millennial kingdom at the great white throne judgment, found in Revelation 20, verse 11. At the great white throne judgment, all those whose names are not found in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. We read in Romans 8:13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." That's spiritual death, hell. "But if ye through the Spirit do mortify," that means kill, "the deeds of the body, ye shall live." This passage is talking to all believers for the last 2,000 years. It speaks to crucifying the flesh of worldly deeds or suffer the just punishment in hell until the great white throne judgment after the millennial reign of Christ. God pleads with his sheep to mortify their members, their flesh, their bodies, not physically, spiritually, to kill the lusts of the flesh. And he says that we must put aside these lusts and desires, like fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, "for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." The prize and the gift in Scripture are not being rightly divided. The gift comes before the prize. The free gift comes at the beginning, the start of everyone's initial simple faith in Christ, whereas the prize is based upon each saved individual's end game, if they continue to walk in obedient faith like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said at the end of his life in 2 Timothy, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The Apostle Paul is a perfect example of an overcomer, which Jesus Christ wants his sheep to be. But not all of Jesus' sheep are overcomers. That is a realization we must come to. It doesn't, however, mean we lose our eternal salvation. So here is the main focus of my email to this Democrat state senator. The Bible says in Paul's epistle to the Corinthian church, Paul wrote, "I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Burn here is literal and is not addressed to the lost person who solely ends up in hell because they reject Jesus Christ. Yes, Senator, this passage of Scripture is speaking to the unrepentant believer who will go to hell and burn because they had sex with their boyfriend outside the divine scope of marriage. Note, God ordained the institution of marriage and he prescribed it to be sexually rewarding after marriage, not before. Now you want to compound that sin of fornication with the sin of murdering that unwanted burdensome child. Instead of teaching abstinence per the Scriptures, you and your Democratic colleagues want sex education in the classroom to exacerbate promiscuity so you can make these children twofold more the children of hell than yourselves. Does that make you mad? It should. It sure made the hypocrite scribes and Pharisees mad when Jesus said it to them. The baptism of fire is still future, and John the Baptist is the one who introduces us to the baptism of fire about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in the Scriptures, 1 Peter 4:17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" How are you building your spiritual house, and how are you encouraging pregnant women, especially those who are believers, to build their spiritual house? Is it with wood, hay, and stubble, or with gold, silver, and precious stone?
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.